This is Second Look, only on 103.3 WZND. Here to take a second look at the stories the WZND Newsroom has covered this week. Investigative reporting from the award-winning WZND News Team, here for you. Unbiased, engaging, and comprehensive. Second Look starts now.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Second Look, the show where we take an in-depth second look at last week's stories. I'm Jaden Cohn.
And I'm Colleen Holden. Today we will be looking at the upcoming MLK dinner, the reconstruction of Veterans Parkway, and a check-in with Ryan Peden and the ISU men's basketball team. With February being Black History Month and the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. being celebrated mid-January, ISU will hold its cultural dinner with Bartunde Thurston. WZND's Ali Hunt spoke to Chief Equity and Inclusion Officer Byron Craig to learn more information.
What is sort of like the main purpose of the dinner?
So the main purpose of the dinner is to celebrate the spirit of Dr. King and the work that he did, but also to reflect on the work that Dr. King did and what that means for us in our current and present day. Right. So, you know, continuing that message, but also hearing different, I think, perspectives of it. So Bartunde Thurston is, you know, known for his conversations on equity, social justice, but also technology. Right. So I think that it carries it on to another level. What is this work that Dr. King did? How do we carry on that work?
Right. I know that you just mentioned that Bartunde Thurston is going to be speaking. Are there any other noteworthy partnerships or collaborations with this event?
Yeah, so we work in conjunction with the Office of Housing, and the Association of Black Employees is also one of the sponsors this year.
All right, awesome. How can people become involved with this event or just attend the event?
There is a website on ISU. Now, I will tell you, out of 650 seats, we probably only have about 10 tickets left. So we are close to capacity for it at this point.
Okay, well, awesome. I'm glad to hear that tickets are almost sold out. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What can attendees expect this year with the dinner?
Sure. Well, they can expect to hear from an excellent speaker who will talk about, in his own voice, the legacy of Dr. King. Let's see here. We'll hear from the president briefly. And the evening is really centered around hearing from our guest speaker and hearing, you know, our guest speaker's thoughts on the legacy of Dr. King. But, you know, of course, there's a nice dinner. There's, some fellowship that people can expect. And that's really what the evening's about.
All right. Well, it sounds like a fun evening.
I would say a fun evening, but also educational and purposeful evening.
Yes. I just have one last question for you. What do you hope people can take away from this event?
Well, I think, like I said in the start, how do we carry on the work of Dr. King, right, from these different, every time we have a speaker for the MLK program, it is to hear from, you know, what they think is important currently that we need to still be working on, right? So hopefully it's an uplifting evening. People will take away a message that's in the vein of Dr. King's work, but that I think sets us up for the work that we are currently doing and the work that we need to do to keep his work alive, to keep the activism that he really espoused to alive.
All right. Well, I think those are all the questions that I have for you. Is there any other bits and pieces of information that you would like to add?
Let me see here. I think, again, we talked about the tickets. If people are going to get tickets, they probably need to do that fairly soon, as it's, you know, pretty full. But, yeah, I'm hoping that people come. We'll have a lovely evening, and they will learn something new, because that's the purpose of this. You know, we are a university, so we're always in the business of teaching. So people can come and learn some more information about Dr. King and that legacy and what it means for us in 2025.
The cultural dinner is set to be held on February 15th in the Brown Ballroom of the Bone Student Center at 5 p.m.
A new look is coming to Veterans Parkway. To accommodate safety for pedestrians and other drivers, the McLean County Regional Planning Commission has undergone a study to establish these new features. WZND's Ali Cooper spoke to Ryan Otto, the Town of Normal's Public Work and Engineering Director, to find out more about these upgrades.
what changes will be made or are wanting to be made to veterans to make Veterans Parkway safer for pedestrians and vehicles?
So the study will work to identify needs for both pedestrian and bicycle accommodations as well as transit. We're looking to gather some public input on what the public would like to see on Veterans Parkway and what the needs are. We know there's needs in the areas specifically of peds, bikes, and transit, because right now they really don't accommodate any of those modes of travel, just cars and trucks. And so we want to take a close look at what those modes need for accommodations on the corridor and try to develop plans to make it better for those folks to navigate Veterans Parkway if you don't happen to be in a car. We've got a lot of employers in the area that people need to get to work, and if you choose to use a bike or a go on foot, it's just really hard to get anywhere.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You did answer the 1A portion of my question, so we'll move on to question 2. What made the McLean County Regional Planning Commission take action in pursuing these changes?
We've really seen over many years the lack of accommodation has resulted in people crossing Veterans Parkway at various points of their own choosing, and that's just a really unsafe condition. And so, unfortunately, that has resulted in some high accident locations, unfortunately some fatalities over the years in the form of bikes and peds. So those are the results of just the design of the roadway and how it's used currently. And so that's what makes us want to take a deep dive into how we can make this better for everybody.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And how has asking the public influenced the reconfiguration decision?
We're in the initial phases of public outreach right now, and so we're hoping to get that input. The people that use it every day, we know, have really good thoughts, and the objective is to take all those thoughts and to combine them into a plan that really meets everybody's needs.
Awesome. And then one more question. When can we expect a new look to Veterans Parkway?
The timeline for the study is that we'll gather public input, we'll take a look at some of the things that could be done to make things safer, and then we hope to finalize the recommendations sometime in the spring of 2026. So after that, we will begin to plan different projects that come out of the recommendations from this study and pursue funding to implement those with both the city, the county, regional planning, and then IDOT, who's the owner of the roadway as well.
Awesome. Those are the last of the questions I have for you. Did you have anything else you wanted me to add or include in my story?
Actually, I did think of one thing. If you could help us publicize the website and the survey we have out there, the website that you can access the survey from is MCPLAN, M-C-P-L-A-N, MCPLAN.org. That's the regional planning website, and then everyone can get to the survey. There's a link right at the front page of that website.
Okay, perfect. Yes, I will do.
So we would encourage everybody to go out there, check out the project, and tell us your ideas for how to make Veterans Parkway better.
The commission has said they expect to begin work on Veterans Parkway in the spring of 2026. We're going to take a quick break here on 103.3 WZND, but we got some great stories coming up on Second Look. Don't go anywhere.
News now on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to Second Look on WZND. In case you missed it so far, we've talked about the new upgrades coming to Veterans Parkway and the importance of the MLK dinner.
With the recent increase of unhealthy foods, ISU's Office of Sustainability has decided to make a change. ISU has recently adopted to its new program called the Redbird Fresh Market, which provides healthier meals to those who are in need. Ali Cooper from the WZND News team spoke to Office of Sustainability Graduate Assistant Riley Hickman on the importance of eating sustainable.
How did the idea of this organization originally start?
Yeah, so this actually came out of a class from ISU's College of Business where students were kind of tasked with coming up with a solution to the problem of Normal's food desert, and the fact that students living off campus often don't have access to fresh produce if they don't have access to like the dining hall, and they have to drive pretty far to get to a grocery store to access that fresh produce. So it really came out of the student-centered approach, students finding a solution for other students.
So how does the Redbird Fresh Market work? The costs, how much produce, where does it come from, how often, where's the location, all the kind of who, what, when, where information I would love.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so it is a $64 cost for the semester, and you get a bag every week for 8 weeks, so it comes out to about $8 a bag. We start on February 7th, and so then it will be 8 weeks from that every week after February 7th, except for spring break. So students go and pick it up at the Bone. It's where the old Star Ginger was, or right across from Qdoba, if you know where that is. And in the bags, you get about 8 to 10 produce items, and a produce item is just like vegetable or fruit, so you can get like 3 apples, and that would still be counted as one produce item.
Yes. Where does the produce come from?
Oh, yes. So we partner with EMDH, which is Event Management, Dining, and Hospitality, and they have a deal with Gordon Food Service, who gets all of that, the food for the dining halls and their events. So through Gordon Food Service is who we order our produce from in bulk. And because we're ordering in bulk and we are not making a profit off of this, those cost savings go down to the consumer.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And then just like briefly, why is sustainability so important in general, and why is it important to you?
Yeah, I would say our approach towards this with sustainability is recognizing the great effects of having a healthy and nutritious produce. And often for students who might not have access to this produce, they might, you know, buy from fast food or other places to get their nutrition, which has its own kind of aspect of sustainability, you know, like problems with sustainability in that regard. For a lot of students who might be using this produce for, like, if they have a vegan or vegetarian diet, of course that is right aligned with sustainability efforts, recognizing that like the meat industry especially has a large effect on sustainability efforts. I come from like the human rights aspect of sustainability, so recognizing the sustainable development and slow approaches to sustainability so that it's longer lasting. So I think that's kind of part of this program as well, is that we are growing slowly. We didn't kind of come full force at it. We're kind of listening to the needs and meeting the needs of students. And then any food that is left over at the end of the day, so anybody who didn't pick up their bags, or if we have extra produce, all of that is then donated to the School Street Food Pantry. So making sure that it's not just thrown away and it's able to be used by students in need. And then whenever we get all of the produce items in, they come in cardboard boxes or in plastic bags. As sustainability students, we have knowledge of how to properly recycle those items. And then some of the food that might come in might be kind of bad or smushed, and so we compost all of that as well. And everything in the bags itself is also compostable. So the paper bags that you get, there's little like compostable green bags and berry containers, and all of that is compostable.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Do you have anything else that you would like me to know or that you want to add at all?
I'm not sure if you know about Fresh Faves, which was actually a program that existed before Redbird Fresh Market. It was a program that had very similar intentions, much more focused on like getting students and staff kind of trying new or different things than they usually would. However, it didn't serve, like people wouldn't pick up their bags on campus, and it was more aimed at staff than it was students. So it kind of vanished during COVID because there wasn't as much demand. So this program does have, I guess, an ancestor or like a previous program that did launch before it, and we're kind of learning from the mistakes of that. So we make sure that all of the pickup is on campus for students so they don't have to travel far. They don't have to use their car, which I guess would be another aspect of sustainability. They can just walk on campus and grab it instead of using public transport or their vehicle.
Awesome. And then I just came up with one more question. How new is the Redbird Fresh Market? Like, when did it first launch? When did it start? And I heard you say that students can start getting their groceries or their fresh produce 22nd.
Yeah, so February 7th is the first day for them to pick it up. So they would have had to already sign up for the semester before. It just closed about 5 days ago. But we did just start, we launched the program last fall, so this is only the second semester that we're doing it. And from what I understand, the business class that kind of created this idea was last spring. So it was a very quick process of kind of drafting up these ideas and these solutions and then implementing them first semester of fall and now this second semester.
Food bags are available for pickup on the second floor of the Bone Student Center. Registration for the fall semester will begin in April.
Looking at some other stories from this past week, on Wednesday, Illinois State University police received calls about an individual being chased by the State Farm Hall of Business. Officers arrived on the scene shortly after and discovered that the incident started with someone taking pictures of another person inside the men's restroom.
The ISU Planetarium is premiering its two new shows that will run for the rest of the semester. The first, which premiered yesterday, is titled Mars, The Ultimate Voyage, and the second, which premieres tonight, called Mysteries of Your Brain, and tells the stories of neuroscience rather than astronomy. Regular show times are every week on Friday and Saturday.
Coming in late February, ISU will be hosting the Charles Ive Music Festival, celebrating 150 years since the birth of the famous American composer. The festival is planning to bring a number of free events around the university and Bloomington Normal, hoping to bring more awareness to Ive's work and life.
Despite a tight budget, Normal is continuing forward on its sustainability plan. They don't have the funds to hire a sustainability coordinator as originally planned, but still have the ambitions to make Normal a more environmentally friendly place. The less costly parts of the initiative remain in motion, including in expanding bike and pedestrian infrastructure and planting trees. Let's talk about Redbird recap in sports. The women's basketball team took down Bradley 74-58 last Sunday. Momentum continued into Friday's game against Southern Illinois. Behind a season high of 25 points from Elise Knudsen and 23 from Addison Martin, the Redbirds cruised to a 78-60 win over the Salukis. The Redbirds will be back in action today at 2 p.m. against Missouri State. The softball team takes the field for the first time of the 2025 spring season, where they travel to Puerto Vallarta. The Redbirds will play the University of Delaware and South Florida on Friday, and Georgia Southern and the University of Florida on Saturday.
The men's tennis got the win 5-2 over Northern Illinois in yesterday's match. The women's team was victorious as well with a 5-2 win over Marquette University. Next week, the men's team travels to IU Indy at 1 p.m., while the women's team takes on Fordham at noon.
The ISU men's basketball team was victorious in both games played this weekend. On Wednesday, Johnny Kinziger sealed the deal with a three-pointer with 14 seconds left on the clock to take down the Belmont Bruins 81-78. Kinziger led the team with 22 points on knocking down 5 three-pointers. Yesterday, the Redbirds honored Doug Collins for being named to the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. At halftime, the athletic team played a video for Collins for all of his accomplishments on the basketball court. Then Collins gave a speech to a very crowded CEFQ arena. The Redbirds honored Collins' legacy with a 86-78 win over Valparaiso.
Speaking of basketball, WZND's Joey LeMaster and Adam Tickler were on the call for the Belmont game. The pair attended the press conference following the Redbird victory and heard from Ryan Peden on his thoughts on the postgame.
Really proud of our team tonight. Really excited. That was an exciting game. Hard fought, well-earned victory over a good, really good team. And, you know, Belmont's been playing as well as anybody in our league. So we knew coming in it was going to require a great defensive effort and a great defensive mindset. And I thought from the start we sort of set the temperature on, you know, how the game would be played to some level. It was going to be played different than it was in Nashville, and because it had to be. And, you know, I was proud of our team. I thought there were a lot of twists and turns in the game. Some of those we were in control of. Some of them, you know, maybe we weren't. You know, I was proud of some of the guys that came in off the bench and really stepped up. I thought we got a handful of contributions tonight from guys that we needed them from. So proud of our guys. Great opportunity to grow, and we got to keep moving.
Coach, I want to talk to you about the three-point shooting tonight, because it wasn't too hot in the first half, but then you guys flipped a switch in the second half. Was that an adjustment or like a halftime talk?
Yeah. I was telling him at half, I said, okay, we're done missing, okay. I know that was not part of the plan in the first half. You know, I tell you what, we did talk about it at halftime, like, hey, just let's relax, settle down and relax, be us. I thought at times maybe we were pressing a little bit in the first half with those, but we got a rhythm. I think we got a little bit of a rhythm there in the second half, and I think what you saw was some of the quality of shots was improving because of the ball movement. Yeah, and we shared the ball really well, ended the game with, 15 assists, and I thought the way we took care of the ball spoke to me more than anything. You know, 19 turnovers at their place. They sort of set the temperature on how things were going to be there, and this needed to be a little bit different type of game. And to our guys' credit, I thought they responded really, you know, doing what was required.
And then I want to talk about how the game ended, because Belmont and Nashville didn't end up working out, and then there's you and I buzzer beater. So Illinois State has been able to finish strong in a couple of games. Are you able to get over the hump today? How proud are you of the boys?
Really proud, yeah. I think very, very proud, because we've been on the other side of that for sure. And there were some maybe uncharacteristic moments there in the last minute or two of the game that I think – if you watched us play, you'd say we were pretty poised at the free throw line. When we get chances to put the nail in the coffin, we do it. You know, we don't beat ourselves, generally speaking, in those moments. And, you know, Landon was just a little excited there after his dunk. And I know it's a moment he'd like to have back, but nobody felt worse than him. He was the first guy to come up to me right after we sang the fight song, and he was apologizing almost with tears in his eyes. I said, man, listen, we won the game. Go celebrate with your teammates. And it's a learning experience, you know. He's an emotional guy, and I love that about him. I saw some real moments out of him tonight that, you know, I like the way he attacked the rim. And I was proud of him and proud of all those guys.
And then, Coach, Saturday's going to be the Valparaiso game, which we're going to show some love to Doug Collins. I want to know from your point of view, how important is Doug to Redbird Athletics?
Doug's everything to our basketball program, and I speak on behalf of our whole athletic department. You know, he's the GOAT, you know. He's the GOAT. And, you know, the thing there's so much that I cherish about Doug, just personally, the relationship that I have with him. From a coaching standpoint, from a friendship standpoint, from a mentorship standpoint, he's been like almost like a second father to me in a lot of ways. But the thing I always come back to is I don't know if I've ever met an alum that loves his school more than Doug Collins. And I've worked at a lot of different schools for 24 years, and I don't think I've ever met a former player who had more pride in his institution than Doug Collins does Illinois State. And that's about as clear as I could put it. That stands out to me, and this school loves him back. We wouldn't be the same without him. You know, we're looking forward to having him here this weekend. He's a He's one of a kind. He's one of a kind, and I'm just glad he'll be in the building on Saturday. That'll bring a lot of juice, a lot of positive energy, and we're looking forward to welcoming him back.
Coach, I want to talk about Cameron Barnes in a minute. Had 4 points and 3 rebounds. What did you notice from him in 8 minutes tonight?
You know, I just noticed Cam was really solid in his role. You know, Cam's done a good job when called upon this year. There's things that we're working on behind the scenes with him in terms of just his improvement, his daily habits and work ethic, all that kind of stuff, just like any of our other players. But when he's been thrown into the fire, I would tell you he's done a really good job when he's been called upon. And he has great promise. Like, I think Cameron Barnes has as high a ceiling as any player in this program. And his game experience is, you know, he's young. This is his only year of playing collegiate basketball, and he's growing. He's getting better. I was really proud of him tonight. What I saw tonight was a guy that helped his team win the game. And if you can control what you can control, he did a great job of that tonight.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Second Look. Today we looked at new plans for Veterans Parkway, an upcoming MLK cultural dinner, and a check-in with Redbird Sports. For Second Look, I'm Colleen Holden.
And I'm Jaden Cohn. And you can listen to this episode or any of our previous ones on WZND.com under the podcast tab. Make sure you tune in for next week for more in-depth reporting news in the Bloomington Normal community. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll catch you right here next week.
This has been WZND's Second Look. Catch more WZND in-depth news every Sunday at noon with WZND's Bird's Eye View and Second Look. For more WZND news, find us online at WZND.com.